Hi, this is Michael Ann Conley, and you're listening to Habits into Health. If you're dealing with a problem habit or an addiction issue, you might be really good at looking good on the outside. But are you covering up how bad you really feel on the inside? Are you terrified of losing control? Well, this show is specifically about helping you learn new skills for calming the chaos. We're all about turning the behaviors that have created problems for yourself and others into healthy habits so you can create your joyful new life and become the person you've always wanted to be. Now, I don't know if you can tell, but it is really pouring down rain here. You might not be able to hear the rain in the background. I sure can. The world is really trying to get to spring here in Northern California. And okay, we have nothing to complain about compared to colder parts of the globe. But, you know that thing about March coming in like a lion and leaving like a lamb? Not happening this year. And that brings up a couple of things for me. First, I'm thinking about spring. And I'm also thinking about how great it is to live at a time when so many of us are focusing on self-improvement and that we can all talk to each other across the globe for support. I have heard from listeners on all continents, except Antarctica. So if you're hearing this from Antarctica, let us know how this episode is going for you at habitsintohealth.com. Because as I think about the process of change and how we deal with changes in our external environment, whether it's rain or snow, hot or cold, I'm just wondering how it's going for you. And I'll offer up some stuff about this topic for today. We'll talk about that in a minute. After we've taken some time for a weekly experiential practice, when you can take a break from the stress of your day. And, you know, I just found that when we slow ourselves down a bit from all that chatter and activity that might be going on inside us and all around us, it just helps to focus more effectively on what we're learning. And rather than having you make something up from your mind, let's start today with what's already going on in your body. So check in. Take a literal temperature reading of where you are and how you're feeling. And what that means is, what's the external temperature from hot to cold? Whether you're inside a building or a vehicle or a train, or sitting outside, walking, riding a bike. And then also check out what's happening on a scale from wet to dry. Is it on the really humid side? Or is the air dry? And this is on a concrete external level. The environment you're in is either hot or cold, wet or dry, or somewhere on the range between those extremes, right? Well, yes, but isn't it also somewhat subjective? Like, you might be in the same room with somebody else, and you're sweaty and they're chilly. You experience the same environment differently. So check in with this. It's a level of feeling because feelings at their base are physical. I feel warm. I feel cold. I feel hot. Sweaty. I feel parched. The specific words don't matter as much as, you know, tuning in to your experience. And no matter what's happening on the outside, you still have your own experience, which nobody can take away from you. It belongs to you. Then there's another level, the level of emotional response. Emotions are packages that include feelings, experiences from your history, your memories, and associations about that history and the patterns you've developed as a part of that. Check in here with the level of your response to what's going on, not just externally in the environment around you, and not just what you physically feel, but how you're responding to this and how you're responding to you. Here's an example. Let's say you're in a room that's cold, or you're outside and there's a breeze that's cold. And let's say that you experience yourself as contracting in this environment, even if the person next to you might be activated and energized. What's your response to your feeling of contraction? Do you move toward this in you, or are you repelled by it? Do you want to remove yourself from this contraction by pulling away? So that means you've got two things going on here. Oh, I'm contracted and I don't like this. Do you want to write it out and notice what happens, or do you want to get rid of it? And maybe you might say, I feel comfortable. Well, how do you respond to your own sense of comfort? Is this pleasurable? Are you at ease? Do you feel drawn to the energy in you? Or is this complacence that could dissipate or collapse, not hold together? So just check it out. You know, you see that it's not as simple as, okay, we have what's going on outside. We have the feeling state in response to that. And then we have a response to our own response. We're either attracted or drawn or repelled by our own response. And at its simplest, there are these three levels. What's going on outside you? What's going on inside you in relationship to that external environment? And what's going on inside you in response to yourself? And all of these things are going on, whether you are actually thinking about it. Which is, of course, an interesting idea, because we are so used to thinking that we lead by thinking. When, in fact, the mind, and I've said this before on other episodes, the mind is the servant of you. It's a part of your body, and it serves your body. So there's a whole bunch of stuff going on, whether you are actively thinking about it or not. And that's why I usually say, you know, let your body lead so that your mind doesn't have to. And let's have you consider this as we talk about how we manage ourselves in relationship to changes in the external environment. And before we do that, I'd like to give a plug for Habits into Health, which is the name for this podcast and other programs. My name is Michael Ann Conley, and you know what? I am just really having a lot of fun learning how to podcast and doing this more and more every week to be able to reach out to more people. In the past, I've only been able to support people who come to my services in person. I'm a holistic therapist and addiction specialist, and for almost 30 years, it sounds kind of amazing to say, that amount of time, I've been helping people create a joyful and addiction-free life. So come on over to habitsintohealth.com and explore other podcasts and articles. And if you're ready to take a new approach to a problem, habit, or addiction, you can ask for a free self-assessment questionnaire on the website as well. And then stay tuned, because I'm developing more programs and information in the future. Now let's talk about, today's topic, I'm going to start a discussion just about the external environment. That's the first of the three levels that I addressed in the exercise. Because when you're committed to creating an addiction-free life, you owe it to yourself to take care of yourself on a practical level. And I'll cover a couple of points today, and then we'll continue next week. And I'll also talk more about the other two levels in upcoming episodes. All right, so let's see. A lot of people will say that they're really affected by the changes in seasons. If you live on a part of the planet where winter happens, the closer to the poles you travel, then the days shorten in the shift of the Earth's relationship to the sun, and you might suffer from seasonal affective disorder, SAD, or sometimes it's called winter blues. So in some way, if you're in the part of the world that's heading toward winter right now, if you find yourself feeling sluggish or needing to sleep more, wanting to isolate, craving more sweets, well, then you might be vulnerable to SAD. Here in the Northern Hemisphere, we're heading towards spring, so you'd have to think about what you're just coming out of, because we're leaving winter and shifting into a new season. But also, seasonal change isn't just based on how much sun your part of the world is getting. I mentioned that I'm here in Northern California, and we have a Mediterranean-style climate, which is fairly mild compared to most places on the globe. And even though our climate is mild in general, we also have microclimates. So it may be cold in the fog belt several miles to the north, while it's warm and balmy in the banana belt in the neighborhood to the south. You may live in an area where once the weather sets in, it's there for months, either hot and muggy in the summertime or freezing cold. You could live somewhere that has little or no seasonal change at all near the equator, depending on altitude. And on some level, no matter what, the invention of air conditioning and heating is wonderful, but it can also create some health challenges that, you know, just under stress, we all regress, and it makes it harder for us to deal with our habit changes if we're under these kinds of stresses. So we are adapting always to extreme shifts between indoors and outdoors. And many people are more susceptible to colds and flus or other kinds of illnesses during these kinds of changes. So today I want to cover two categories of solutions for managing the external environment around these kind of changes. And they're related because they both have to do with what you put in your mouth, solid food and liquid food. So first, solid food. At this time, you're going to be a lot better off if you increase your intake of whole grains, green vegetables, and light proteins like fish, chicken, and turkey, and reducing eating sweets and simple carbohydrates. And this is going to be true if you're in the part of the world that's heading towards spring, or if you're in the part of the world that's heading towards fall. And the first part might be easier. Increasing grains, green vegetables, and proteins. But what if your addiction problem is to sweets and simple carbohydrates? What if you can't get enough of that candy on a coworker's desk and you never met a cupcake you didn't like? I'll say more about this in a minute, but first I want to talk about liquid food. So here I recommend that you increase the amount of water you drink and decrease the coffee or caffeinated teas. And then, even if you don't have a problem with alcohol, now is a time to drink less of it. Keeping yourself hydrated is really important for dealing with any kind of addiction issue. And although both caffeine and alcohol are liquids, their action in the body is dehydrating. So in both of these food areas, solid foods or in liquids, you may crave certain substances more during times of seasonal changes and disruption in weather. And this just means that you need some reinforcement. So I have some ideas about that. Thought I would share them with you today. And of course, since I don't know you or your specific situation, these are going to be general ideas of directions to go in. So first, for the sugar-carbohydrate issue. I've actually addressed these in previous podcasts, so my first recommendation is that you go to habitsintohealth.com and write the word sugar in the search box on the upper right. Two podcasts will come up about this issue, and one of them has links to more resources on how to manage this specific food issue. For the caffeine issue, I have something real specific. When I'm coaching folks who are hooked on coffee or caffeinated teas, what we focus first on is reducing the negative and increasing the positive. And one really big negative with caffeine is that the withdrawal symptoms include headaches particularly. So people will go back to drinking coffee again just to stop the headaches. It's a double whammy because the coffee is actually playing a role in creating the headaches in the first place. So the trick is to not do this cold turkey. And here's what I recommend for people. You just reduce the amount of caffeine a little bit at a time over a period of time, and it might look like this. For 2 weeks, you fill your cup with 3/4 cup of caffeinated coffee and 1/4 cup of decaf. And if you're not doing this yourself, if you're going to a coffee shop, they'll do this for you too. It's no big deal. They're used to that. Then the next 2 weeks, you do half and half. And the 2 weeks following that, you do 1/4 caffeinated and 3/4 decaf. You're actually making a graduated shift to 100% decaf, which is likely to reduce the symptoms of withdrawal. Eventually, of course, after that, you'll be 100% decaf. And if you notice symptoms like headaches, that's a signal that you're graduating the shift too quickly, so go back up a percentage on the caffeinated to reacclimate. and then restart. It might be you need 3 weeks. Everybody's different. The same thing goes for switching from caffeinated teas to decaffeinated. Although I don't hear as many people complaining about negative symptoms, and I think that's probably because tea drinkers don't tend to drink as much in a day as most coffee drinkers. If you realize that your challenges around sugar, carbohydrates, and caffeine is related to emotional eating, then check out the interview I did with Merrill Hershey Beck by searching for emotional eating in the search box on habitsandhealth.com. About alcohol. This one is a little trickier. If your drug of choice is not alcohol, then you shouldn't have any problem cutting back or not drinking at all and noticing the effect this has on your energy, quality of sleep, and general attitude. Seasonal and weather changes are just a time for replenishment, and alcohol is not the best way to do that. If, however, you have a problem cutting back or eliminating alcohol, then, you know, that's kind of a signal right there to reevaluate your relationship with this substance. Only you can decide what your priorities are. And the biochemistry of alcohol dependence can be fairly complex. So without knowing you, I can only make some general recommendations. And there will be some similarities to the sugar carb issues, because alcohol is essentially fermented sugar. But at the very least, you can go to the website, habitsandhealth.com, and write alcohol in the search box on the right. Some of the articles or podcasts that come up may apply to your specific situation, and they might be helpful. My second recommendation for any of these considerations, whether it's about food or about liquid, is that if you have a problem making these adjustments, then check out a community for support. You know, the truth is that most people start out by trying to do it alone. And when the struggle is too hard, then you end up feeling like a failure. The struggle is so much easier to deal with when you have understanding companions. For sugar, carb, and caffeine issues, this could come through a program like Weight Watchers, even if you don't need to lose weight, because these programs combine food plans and mutual support. It could come through a self-help program like Overeaters Anonymous or Food Addicts Anonymous. And even if there are no meetings in your part of the world, there are online meetings that can help. And I will post links at the website, habitsandhealth.com. On the alcohol part, if reducing your intake is hard, check out Smart Recovery, Alcoholics Anonymous, or if you're a woman, Women for Sobriety, to see which of these self-help programs seems like a better fit for you. And all of these groups have online meetings or chat rooms. Now, let's talk about my third recommendation. If you're struggling with your habit change plan or addiction issues, especially when seasonal or weather changes are disruptive for your energy and motivation. But let's say you've tried self-help groups and it hasn't helped. Let's say that you've made some dietary changes and that hasn't helped. Well, in that case, you owe it to yourself to consider professional support. If the external environment you're around is leading to painful experiences in your life, seek out a therapist near home or work. Be sure to ask about their experience in working with the issue you're having. If alcohol is a tricky one for you, find out if they have an abstinence approach or a harm reduction approach. A lot of people don't feel comfortable starting with an abstinence approach. So if that's true for you, then start with someone who's open to harm reduction, where you can explore your relationship to alcohol without quitting altogether, at least at first. And if the therapist isn't able to easily talk about these differences, then they probably don't know enough about alcohol problems to help you. And last, I am certainly open to offering some coaching to help you get started. I set aside a limited number of spots in my schedule each month for free consultations. And if you're interested, then come to habitsandhealth.com/get-support and fill out the application. If I'm able to fit you in my schedule, we'll talk specifically about what you're dealing with, and I'll make some recommendations to support you in your individual situation. If I'm not able to fit you in, then I or a member of my team will contact you with referrals. So I hope this is helpful in thinking about the changes that we go through around seasonal changes as well as weather changes and how that can affect our capacity in the short term to manage the changes that we're wanting to make around problem habits. It is time for me to sign off for this week. And as you consider the effect of weather and seasonal changes on your energy and motivations, remember that it's okay, even preferable, to start small and to be kind to yourself along the way. This is Michael Ann Conley, and you've been listening to Habits into Health. I support you in turning your old habits around into healthy possibilities for your future. Thanks a lot for joining me.